Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
I'm in Texas, where the internet is unstable, Lori. I don't know if it is.
Much like the government.
The entire community of Texas is unstable. Here we are, days before Thanksgiving. I went to Lyndon Johnson. I went to the Johnson Space Center. To the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... Yeah, except for it wasn't as interesting because the tram was full. It was raining so hard that I didn't get to actually see a space shuttle or a rocket. I did get to see all the stuff inside the museum, and I got to spend quite a lot of money at the gift shop. And then I got to also get kind of gouged a little bit with the Uber. So it was a bit of a cash grab that day, but I did enjoy what I saw of space.
Oh my God. I don't even the phrase cash grab is like this. There's one thing I'm furious about that we can't talk about.
Right.
And there's a separate thing that I'm sure was an oversight because there was a contract that everyone signed, but I was underpaid by about a third last night. I was like, what? It will be resolved. The person who wrote the check wrote it, you know,
away from
the show.
Yep.
Yes. Wrote it from someplace else. And so they forgot some stuff.
I got a random check from Michigan, from Dr. Grins, 2 days ago, right before I showed up. And I was like, what is this? And then, so I emailed with a picture to the agent, and the agent was like, oh, that's your bonus. They forgot to give it to you. And I was like, oh, well, knowing your heart
nice.
That they could have got away with it, but they didn't. And,
quiet, Jackie. You got
to
be,
know
you
it.
Know, those,
they don't need to know it.
Those headliners would come out with those counters and they would just stand. You ever see a headliner at in the 90s stand and count the audience? You're like, what are you doing? There's 12 people here, buddy.
Yeah. Right, they want to make sure they're like, who was comped? And because, you know, the clubs would always imply that they had papered the room and that's why it was full. And so they didn't want to pay you for paper. And you're like, so they would count.
Well, I mean, there's no way to tell if you're counting, but yeah. I mean, there's some people that, you know, they did door deals, so they had a counter out there making sure they weren't getting stiffed. I mean, I definitely understand why they needed it. It was always just funny to me to see somebody not enjoying the show, just like looking at each table.
Right. And clicking. Someone who had bought one of those clicker things, which is always hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in
Houston. I'm at a comedy festival. So
what's the festival? You're all over festivals this year.
This year, it's all festivals all the time. It's called the Come and Take It Festival, which is essentially an ancient Sparta Take It From My Cold Dead Hand line that Texas has co-opted. And so they've called it the Come and Take It Festival. And it's not like it doesn't seem to be politically motivated. I think it's just because it's Houston. That they're calling it that. And but it's all everything was in one building, the secret group, right? They had three rooms in one building, and then they rented a warehouse for the bigger shows right next to them. And so it was incredibly convenient. I did, because it rained almost every day and it's been very dark. And I don't know where I'm going in Houston. I've taken a lift to the show. It's about a mile. Did you see my tweet about my Lyft driver?
Mm-mm.
I had the worst Lyft driver. They, like I said, it's the mile from here to the venue. I don't know how he got in as much disgustingness as he did, but there was no, like, he waited till we were rolling to tell me that he wasn't vaccinated, didn't believe in it, and was a bit of a conspiracy theorist. And then
why did he even bring it up? Were you wearing a mask?
I was wearing a mask, and I think I coughed. And I said, I'm not sick. I'm just, I just had to cough.
You were trying to reassure him.
Yeah. And so he was like, I'm not vaccinated. And then he said that we were driven back from the club to the hotel, and the club, the secret comedy headquarter thing, turns into like one of their rooms turns into a dance. It was K-pop night. And it was a dance rave. And I was like, oh, Christ, get me away from here. And so, but I get in the car and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm getting married. And he was probably in his middle 60s. And he said, I'm getting married. Very young Filipina girl. And I wouldn't want to bring her here. Someone would steal her. And I was like,
oh, my God.
And then he told me that she had really big boobs. This is within 9 blocks. I was like,
I'm pulling for her. I hope he dies as soon as they get married and she gets all of his Uber money.
Whatever. And
I don't know.
Is eligible good luck, for lady. All of his like social security.
Oh yeah. And, get it.
And I was like, and then he said something else. And I was like, dude, I'm just trying to get to the hotel here. And he finally got me to the hotel. And so I did a poll on Twitter. Twitter's pretty pointless right now, except for that.
Oh my God.
Like there's no one to report tweets to, and it's not right. even worth the tiniest of efforts. So, yeah. But I did do a poll saying, should I give him a low rating or not tip? Because I think I saw the poll. Yeah. And I also texted Rory Scovel and Daniel Van Kirk, because I'd come from doing their podcast in a set. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you guys think? And they both simultaneously, I got text back from that said both. And then I did the poll and everyone was like both. And so for the first time I gave a terrible star review and no tip.
What was your review?
I wrote down exactly what the guy said, because I gave him 1 star, and there was a thing where you could write down what happened. And so I wrote down what happened. And cool. I was like, I don't know if this is, it just felt super weird. So I didn't want to tip him or give him a good review.
Of course. No, you don't. Although you not tipping him takes money away from his new bride, but you know what? He probably wouldn't give it to her anyway.
Right. I'm sure he's getting her a job right now.
Yes.
And
I had good Uber drivers, Lyft drivers this weekend. I went to Danvers. First of all, okay. So this whole time I've been plugging this gig as in it's in Boston, because I thought right. it was in Boston.
Yeah.
It's. So I don't look up anything. I'm like, oops. There's an address. I don't know. I think it's a neighborhood in Boston called Beverly. It's not. It's 45 fucking minutes away. It's practically in Canada. Okay. And I'm stranded at a hotel where I didn't bring anything. Cause I'm like, I'm going to be in Boston. I'm just going to walk outside and there'll be restaurants everywhere. I was next to a Home Depot.
Oh no.
That's it. Food wise. So,
That's so weird.
It was very much like, I don't know if this is bad for the video, but like most of your face is cut
off. Yeah.
But we don't have to care.
I'm not.
You know what?
Care.
Sorry. We're not beauty queens. We're not, this isn't why you're here.
No, so,
there's nothing to do. And that's okay. It was a very short gig and stuff. I just would have brought like food and snacks because I just assumed there'd be Boston just waiting for me.
Right.
And, but the venue's fun. It's a small venue and, they canceled one of the shows, but the 2 shows we did have were very full.
Good.
And, I went to this morning, I treated myself to a brunch this place called the Friendly Toast. Mm-hmm. And I've also started squirting something up my nose. I am very conscious of the fact that I might be the inverse of someone taking ivermectin, but it's called Enovid, and it says it kills 99% of all germs. And a lot of people on the COVID paranoid Twitter that I follow, they're like, you know, you just squirt a few things up your nose, and you know, that's a little extra layer of protection. That's what they believe. I'm like, I'll fucking try it. I don't care. So I've been squirting up every 6 hours, every time I'm unmasked or exposed, and bring my little purifier. But I walk into the Friendly Toast, and I took an Uber, so I'm stuck there. There's nothing else going on.
Right.
And it is packed. And a lot of kids, and I'm like, oh, it's a fucking family brunch. Oh God, it's awful. And they're all, there's coughing, there's RSV and flu everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I take a bite and put my mask back on and chew it and hold my mask while I'm chewing it and stuff. And, so some dumb fuck on the next table over starts going, gonna, sheep.
What does that mean?
It means he's talking to someone named Gunner in a Boston accent, and he's saying sheep because I'm the only one there with a mask on, right? This guy Gunner never responded, and he gave up.
Thank God.
Yeah. So, I don't know, can you hear that? There's a lot going on.
No,
outside on the streets. Okay, good.
I can't. Yeah.
So my friend Ross Bennett, who's a comic, do you know Ross? Mm-hmm. He used to go by Eddie Strange for a while, and he's great.
That
he's such
familiar.
A funny guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he is engaged to a comic named Gwen, and so they came to my Saturday show, and then we all went out to dinner, and I did the same thing where I was like eating and then putting the mask back on and, you know, pointing the air purifier at me. I do probably look insane to a lot of people, but I just, you know.
It turns out you also, you look alive. So you're also continue to be.
It was fun to see them.
That is great.
He had a story. I'll tell you who it's about, but I can't say because this person's dead.
Oh, well then they're not going to get mad at us.
No, but they're beloved. Okay. It's about this guy and another comic. This guy was accused of stealing. Now, not just jokes, but characters. This other comic did characters.
Was that back in the day? Because I've heard
back
that
in the day.
Guy. Yeah.
Back in
okay.
The day. Okay. So this guy, what he was good at, he wasn't good at impressions. He's good at what a lot of comics are doing, which is copying somebody else's impression of somebody, right? Like I'm really good at that. you let like Dana Carvey figure out the actual beats of an impression, then everyone starts doing Dana Carvey's impression. I forget who did the first Christopher Walken, but then everyone started copying that person doing Christopher Walken, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this comic, and this is the Comedy Store in the, you know, the 70s, did a lot of individual, like unique characters. And this now, I'm sure people can hear what I'm talking about, dead comic lifted them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other comic, like pushed him against the wall and beat him up or something. But like Ross, because Ross was around during all that. I swear to God, he's a fucking comedy encyclopedia. His first wife, he and his first wife were married by Sam Kinison, who was a reverend.
Like, yeah, he was.
He's got some incredible stories. So anyway.
Do you know this comic? I just typed it in.
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Supposedly New York.
Okay.
And goes and claims to be a comic. And it's weird. I mean, granted, you don't know. You don't know all the New York comics in the whole wide world. But I wish I could remember. And I did it on purpose, too. A comic, because there's so many. You know what? This particular comedy festival is full of respectable, like the guys that I like, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're like that early 2000s or mid 2000 sort of after Kinane and Bronger, kind of, but Sean Patton and mm-hmm. Rory Scovel and Shane mm-hmm. Torres, who's mm-hmm. even newer than those guys. And they're all really good comics.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're decent men and they're mm-hmm. good guys. And it's nice. It was nice to hang out with them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was like, mm-hmm. oh, good. And then there was just, it had to be like, there had to be like 15 women comics. And most of them were Texas comics, but mm-hmm. They were all super funny and interesting. And the different rooms had a lot of diversity as far as like they had queer comics, but they also had like trans comics, and they had a night of LGBTQ, you know, interesting, you know, and everybody had this a different take, right? So interesting. I did like two sets, and then I did two podcasts. And one of my sets was the long set. It was probably 40 minutes. And I was so, because I'm clipping out so much of the staycation special, because they're not playing it anywhere. I might as well, you know, and I don't want to do the material anymore. But as I clip it out, I'm like, well, I kind of need to do that material because I haven't written enough new material. And it's truly irritating to me that I don't seem to have, I was listening, because while clipping out, you know, you'll see old bits that mm-hmm. are tight, they're done, they were smart, they were funny. I'm so proud of them. And then I'm like, mm-hmm. I haven't written anything like that recently, you know?
Yeah, but
all that stuff takes so much time that I just have to be patient with myself and with the material and with all the things. Patience right now is my strength.
Yeah. It's hard to compare a chunk that took 8 years to tighten with a chunk that's a year old, right? Because mm-hmm. I was doing that too. I was like, let me just front load my set with old stuff so I can get out of the way and then do the stuff that I'm working on. So the old stuff was killing because it's fucking tight. There's not an extra word. And the new stuff is looser. It has good punchlines and stuff, but like, you know, there's long setups and stuff that mm-hmm. I haven't, you know, populated with jokes yet. And so
long setups, that's my middle name. Jesus.
I was noticing, you know, just like a drop off in energy, because I would do like four or five of these newer things in a row. And so then last night's show, I just moved a few around and then kept just change order a little bit and kind of intersperse some older with new so that that it was like it'd be like super, super tight 5 minutes and then a looser 6 minutes and then super tight, you know, three and a looser seven or something. So that seems to really work pretty well.
That's much smart.
You know what? I posted my 9/11 joke. I clipped mm-hmm. it out from a flapper set.
Yeah.
I didn't even post all the tags because it gets it's really dark. So I just posted the general idea. And then my friend Ross, who went to the show, he watched that clip and he loved the joke. And he goes, I was waiting for you to do that joke. I'm like, wait, you know it and you saw it and now you want to hear it. So, mm-hmm. so in your head, you're thinking, oh, everyone's seen this, but people might, and this is, it's almost more like music than I thought comedy would be, that people would want to hear it live.
Yep.
You know,
I had a woman cheering during that, because I clipped out was that mace bit, and that I never mm-hmm. thought that would go on anything. And now I'm like, well, it's probably going to go on an album now just because it has 5 million views and it's clearly very popular. And once it's tight, once it's real, because that was one of the first times I did it, the one that was clipped out wearing a weird sweater. Anyway, so in the clip. But so mm-hmm. there was a woman in the audience last night who I started doing it, and she was like, TikTok! And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, so you've heard this. Do you want me to do it? And she was like, tell it. And I was like, all right.
This goes against everything we were raised to believe.
Right? It felt weird. And it threw my gait off, right? It threw my timing off a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of, like, you know, I've spent, because it's a festival and there's a lot of people, they had nothing in the coolers but beers. There was only beers, no water.
Oh, not even no, water? Oh, that's crazy. Even,
I had to go to the bar to get waters and sodas. And and the green room, it was a party. It was such a party that I have spent a fair amount of time alone. And I really liked this. This was lovely. But there was so much that I had to just go.
Wow. Yeah. You know me, I party all the time. So I don't know why I'm not at that.
Right.
Possible.
Well, and it's so funny because I had to tell a story which may or may not be true, which is when I did party, I was so drunk and wasted and high and everything by 11 or 12, I was done anyway. So I never made it to the 3:30, 4 a.m. business that people do. And now that I don't party, I am back at the hotel by 11:30, 12, mm-hmm. reading my book, which I'm enjoying.
Listen, I think every comedy festival needs a comic that doesn't party. You just need to have one adult there to make sure one of the shows happens on time.
Right. But I had some really nice, like, there was a lot of conversation, like a lot of the, I think, was it, it might've been Daniel Ben Kirk and Rory that we were talking about how everybody's posting those crowd work clips and how it's interfering with people who want to tell jokes. I think it was Rory was saying that there were some people in the audience that they had their phones out the whole time and they were attentive, but they didn't know who he was. They had just
Rory
come,
Scoble?
They sat. Yeah. They just came, they sat in the second Jesus. Row, in their cargo shorts and polo shirts, attentively watching the whole show, waiting to be talked to.
Oh no. Are you serious? Oh no.
And it's because there's Peter Lee posts all those clips of him saying, "So what do you do for a living?" And then him saying something interesting back and then turning whatever they do for a living or whatever they said into something that was kind of riffy.
It's training the audience to come with punchlines and smart little comments.
Or smart comments or just a desire for it to be more like a circus, like more interactive. And I genuinely don't want any part of that. It's, I think we all know that there should be none of that.
Interesting. Yeah, it's weird. On Thursday night, when I was in New York, I did, which where I am right now, I did like four sets, two at Greenwich Village and then two at the Broadway. Those are both Al Martin's rooms.
Right.
And one of the guys at Greenwich Village was just like a nice young comic. And then Eric, who runs it, was like, "Yeah, he's got 7 million followers on TikTok." I'm like, "What the fuck?" So I don't know. It's just bananas. I will start posting more clips. Obviously that helps a lot. And, I definitely think that people getting 7 million are, you know, young, attractive, comics and not necessarily older joke writers. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll see.
Who knows? I can't figure out the algorithm. I posted like the one that has 5 million hits, and then there's the one that has 100,000 hits. Oh, by the way, Laura House's fiance, Brian,
yes,
listens to this show. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Brian, so creepy, Jackie.
Such, he's a great trumpet player.
Love
he's,
him.
Let him live in peace. Don't terrorize him on a podcast.
Well, Laura House called me because last week I said that we were talking about TikTok again. And Laura was like, Brian says that you mentioned something on the podcast about knowing how to do TikTok. Can you explain how to do TikTok? And she said, I'm so sorry, I don't listen to the show. And I was like, I don't listen to anything. You were on the show. You're fine. And so I explained to her that Tiff Stevenson explained to me how to do TikTok 6 months ago, 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know. And so I told her what Tiff told me to do. But I did have a different story I was going to tell you. So I did a 10-minute set night before last, just to pick up, right, mm-hmm. at the festival. And there was a guy who was blind who came during, like, 2 minutes into my set. He walked up, stick, stick, tap, 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 sat in the front row, enjoyed my set. Last night, the longer set, he was already sitting in the front row, looking at his iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
6 minutes into my set, he got up, tap, 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 stick, walked his way out. So, distracto, first of all. I mean, because mm-hmm. when he came and sat down, I was like, well, I don't know how to keep doing jokes while this tap, tap, tapping happens. And I'm rooting for you, sir. Because he had like a beer in his hand and he was trying to find the chair and stuff. And then as he was leaving last night, I was like, it's not that I'm not still rooting for you, but you were just looking at your iPhone. So I know that you're legally blind, but I am slightly offended that you're not going to stay for the rest of this set.
As you should be.
I had the worst. Okay. There were parts of it that were epically funny. Yes?
Take everything personally. That's what I do. That's how I felt when I got my check last night. Took it very personally.
Yes. Take everything very personally. Noted.
And the situation, we can't talk about it. But go ahead. Continue with the story.
So... Oh, today I did Doug Loves Movies with Doug Benson and Joe DeRosa mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Daniel Ben Kirk. And it turns out I have never seen any of the movies that they were talking
about. I never had seen the movies.
I am always terrible at that show.
Me too.
And he keeps having me back. Yes. But this one, it was very, very funny because he had a through line on the questions and a trap was built into it that none of us fell into because it was too smart. And Joe DeRosa and I didn't have a chance, but Daniel, he had a chance.
Joey Roses.
And Joey Roses. I wanted to talk to him. Joey Roses. Joe DeRosa has a sandwich shop.
And he has a sandwich shop, yes.
On the Lower East Side?
Tied to the stand, but I don't know exactly how.
Oh, okay. But
Jackie, good for him. Good for everybody. For sure. Make your money.
Well, and when Doug Benson was talking about how he knew things about sandwiches, I wanted to bring up the best sandwich I've ever had in my life, which... in the worst comedy town in the country, which is Atlantic City. They're doing amazing work with cold cuts. Amazing. Like epic. And, mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to Joe DeRosa about it, but I thought, then I found out he had a sandwich shop. So he probably doesn't want to hear about the best sandwich I had that wasn't his place.
Oh, right. I mean, yeah, that might aggravate him. Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
I flew out here. Mm-hmm. I have a suitcase full of books. I have like 20 pounds of books, right? In one suitcase, right. Mm-hmm. My air purifier in the other, and then a few, you know, clothes and stuff like that. Right. So I take the train, I take the subway, And this fucking city isn't always accessible for everybody, right? So mm-hmm. some places I have to drag, you know, 50 pounds, 60 pounds wow. of suitcases.
Up and down those cement stairs.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Oh. Right. And then to get to the apartment, and then you have to do the same thing to go back the next day to get on the train to go to, took a train to Danvers, to Beverly.
Right.
Everything. So I just, you know, tweet, hey, I'm here. If you're anywhere nearby, please come to the show. You know, trying to fill mm-hmm. the room. Somebody responds, they'd love to, but they're feeling lazy. And I'm like, you come to the show so I can punch you in the face. Because you know what?
What was the rule? Here's the rule. Take everything personally.
I do. I took it personally. If you aren't gonna come to a show, I don't need to know.
No. Nobody
and
needs
I certainly
to know.
Don't need to know if the reason is you're feeling lazy. You know?
Right. Tell me.
You know how hard yes. I worked to get here? I mean,
with the heavy lifting and everything.
With the heavy lifting, flying across country, getting, you know, making sure my son has childcare, you know, making sure his dad, doing all this extra shit so I can fucking even fly out of the house.
Yep.
And you can't drive.
You can't keep it to yourself.
Run nearby. Keep it to yourself.
Okay. So one of the clips, I've had somebody helping me do the clips, right? I'm doing a lot of the clips. This other person's doing clips. He picked a clip from Horcrux where I say, and granted, it's a video, and I've never looked at myself in the mirror. So I don't know. But I say that I'm a six in Wisconsin. But I'm an mm-hmm. airport cop in LA. That's the joke, right? Mm-hmm. And almost got a tiny laugh. Good for me. But so somebody, I didn't want to post it.
I think I've heard
because,
that.
Well, yeah. And so, but I didn't want to post it because I knew the trolling. Because once you address your own looks in a video, people are going to have an opinion. And so I have just been deleting people's opinions and
on TikTok?
Yeah, it's on TikTok. And so some guy was like, the longest, most sincere diatribe about, no, I see what she's saying, she's so right, but
oh my
no
God.
Way is she a six.
Oh my
in
God.
Wisconsin, I'd say maybe a four. And I was like, delete, my
what
friend
the fuck.
I was like, it's just a joke. You don't have to want to be with this. Ideally, Jesus that would be Christ. Awkward for me. That would be genuinely awkward if you did. So why don't we just wrap it up? I learned how to make, let's see. Let's take a break, actually.
Manolo, guess what? Manolo, guess what?
What?
Dr. Game Show has made it to 100 episodes on Maximum Fun.
Oh, that's true. I knew that.
Well, to celebrate, we are releasing our entire Earwolf archives to Max Fun members. That's anyone who gives $5 or more monthly to support podcasts like Dr. Game Show.
That's 63 episodes with in-studio comedian guests like Jason Mantzoukas, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers, Joe Pera, Todd Barry and Janine Garofalo, Connor O'Malley, Chris Gethard and more.
Plus three bonus episodes that include two pilot episodes. Wow, two pilots must be good.
Find the feed at MaximumFun.org/BOCO, BOCO.
Stands for bonus content.
Guys, your hair is unique. My hair is not like your hair. Yours is not like mine. So your hair care should be unique as well. Function of Beauty makes products that are 100% customizable with ingredients designed and formulated to meet your specific goals. I want my hair to be as high as possible for as long as possible. Okay, that's my goal. That might not be your goal. But Function of Beauty is the world's first fully customizable hair care. It creates individually filled shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment formulas based on your hair type. You take their little quiz. It's super short. It's designed to build your hair profile. You select up to 5 hair goals, and then you get your freshly filled formula delivered straight to your front door and prepare for good hair days ahead. Start giving your hair the personalized care it needs. Go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLori. Take your hair goals quiz and you'll save 20% on your first order when you subscribe. There's no commitments. You can stop at any time. Functionofbeauty.com/JackieLori. Let them know you heard about it on our show and you'll get 20% off your first order. I love it. I love eucalyptus, as I've said, and it gets the chlorine out of my hair. And it makes my hair soft and it smells terrific. And it's a pretty, pretty color, which I didn't realize that meant anything to me till I got this pretty purpley color. And I was like, oh, I like it. So, you know, please do us a favor and do your hair a favor. Go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLori and let them know you heard about it on our show. 20% off your first order, Jackie and Lori. Thank you.
And then let's do comic of the week.
Our comic of the week is Nishi XL, and her last name is the letters, her stage last name X and then L. And she's very funny. I just worked with her at Flappers. I worked with like a whole bunch of women at Flappers on one night. I was like writing down all the names.
I have so many names. It's so great.
Kiana Dancy from last week was there the same night. And Nishi's super funny. And I guess she just did a set on Peacock. They had a show.
Okay.
If you look her up, you'll find her on the Peacock Network.
NISHYXL at NISHY Comedy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to meeting her at least 3 or 4 times. That'll be great.
I'm so tired. Today I was like a long day, three and a half hour Acela train trip on the Amtrak, and then again clunking my bags up. Although they were a lot lighter because I sold all my books, but still,
there you go.
Good work. Taking 2 suitcases up several flights of stairs.
That's banana land, as far as I'm concerned. This week, yes.
Some minutia, just, you know, we do have another half hour to kill. So at the 145th station, the D train, which is on the lowest floor, has a very skinny escalator going all the way up to the top. And then you only have to take 2 flights of stairs out. So I take the A train from Penn Station to 59th Street or 125th. And then I just get out and go across the road to across the platform to the D train. Because otherwise, if I take the A train to 145th, it puts me up in the middle platform, and now I have to take another set of stairs up. That's just a little trick for anyone in that exactly peculiar predicament.
Where there is heavy lifting to be done, it can be avoided if you know where all of the elevators and the escalators lessened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So what do people do in New York if they are handicapped? Or
it's really fucked. I mean, I don't necessarily pay attention to that too much because stairs are always good for you. But when I have a ton of suitcases, I was like just looking for the wheelchair signed so I could take an elevator or an escalator. And there's not enough. There's definitely not enough. I mean, there's not one on 145th. And even Penn Station isn't, you know, getting up from the Amtrak platform to the A, which is like a common routing for anybody. You still have to do a flight and a half of stairs, which if you're in a chair, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. That's crazy. I think by law, they're supposed to.
Yes.
Yeah. They're supposed to have their act together. These are both weird. Like I usually would be home today because today's Sunday. This will go up.
Right.
Tomorrow. But because I stayed to do Doug's podcast, I'm just here an extra day. And then this week is Thanksgiving 2022. And my sister's coming on Thursday for the weekend. Yeah, with the kids and everybody. And
cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But it promises to be a busy week. And I only have one more Dork Forest and I have to record more Dork Forests, but I don't know when. So
the relentlessness of the forest. I don't know how you deal with it.
I don't know either.
I have a terrible headache and I have for several hours and I took a shower and it didn't work. And So
you take
I'm
any drugs?
Exhausted. No, I'm going to take some melatonin. Hopefully, fall asleep.
Okay.
I'm out of my Lumi Lab stuff.
So. Note to Lumi Lab: pony up. It's
I just hate the comedy business. I can't tell you. It's just so makes me so angry for reasons I said and cannot say. But artistically, I'm like, I feel like I've never been better. And
oh, really?
I feel like I'm top of my game, and I love the stand up part, but this other fucking shit, it's just crazy.
Right. I am, the thing about stand up, and I'm sure it's in every industry or whatever, but there are these plateaus and these valleys where you're like, nothing feels like it's moving. Like I'm not either moving creatively, or the career part isn't moving, or the people that I'm working with are driving me. And it's an exercise in patience, you know, with all of these different parts of this thing. And I sometimes don't want to, I just, you know, like, I know I'm hitting my head against the right doors, but my head still hurts. How about that? So, cause I'm doing the right things. You have to get up. You have to keep trying. I have to keep writing down two sentence or two word premise ideas. And then I get up on stage and I'm like, nope, there's nothing there. And I don't know. And it was driving me nuts because I was watching the Terrigen Mist bit. I clipped that out from the Two Dope Queens. And it's such a great bit. It's got all the parts, you know. And granted, it was, you know, an 18-month bit because it's tight, but it's got like a personal edge. It's got a regular jokety joke part of it. It's got nerd references. It has all the parts that make a really great
Jackie Cation bit.
Right. Very specific Jackie Cation bit. And I don't have anything. I don't have any new premises. So it's a bit of a drag being me. And then I have a scratchy throat. I'm gonna have some water. Hey, there's vending machines in this hotel. I thought of you because you like a vending machine in a hotel, which is so weird to me.
I like a closet. Was that?
Yeah.
Well, as opposed to nothing. No vending machine.
Oh, true that.
That's what I was dealing with, Jackie, on those other two hotels. Nothing.
There was no closet and no vending machine? Okay, that is bad.
Wait, you don't have a closet?
There's no closet.
Do you have a wardrobe?
There's a restaurant that has... closet. I keep calling it that. It's not what I'm talking about. It's the next to the check-in. There's sort of a tiny little cubby hole that has
The little kitchen, kitchenette or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but it's in the ground floor. It's like it's like a tiny store.
Yeah.
And this hotel doesn't have that. They have vending machines. And last night I got back here and I hadn't eaten because the food situation is because it's downtown Houston. It's fine right by the where the club is. There's essentially a handful of opportunities to spend $26 on a sandwich. And and so I've done that and that's fine. But I don't leave this room. The great thing this hotel does have is it has one of those espresso machines where you can get a latte anytime. That's kind of exciting.
That's good. You know, twice in the morning.
Twice a day. Yeah. Yeah. And then, or at least once in the morning and then once before I go to the club is what I do.
This Sinestra didn't have much. And like they had, you know, that Tony's pizza, it's like a disc of diabetes and heart disease. Yeah. So I had one of those. I just kind of felt gross all the time. It was just all the food choices were so, so bad, you know?
Yeah. The food choices in the last couple of weeks have been kind of mediocre, which makes me feel sluggish, which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great. It's not great.
Oh my God. I don't
What do you got this week?
It's an hour. I'm so tired.
I know you're pretty tight.
I still have this habit of writing. This is from lockdown. Writing my schedule on a whiteboard on the fridge, so I don't have it when I'm on the road. Oh, so I don't know what's coming up.
Right.
I have some spots here and there. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is over. You know, like our whole family. Up until the pandemic, we had a big Thanksgiving blowout of our family and my cousin, the Kilmartin cousins. And there's nine of them. And then they all got married and then they all had kids. And some of them got married. So it would just get bigger and bigger. And people started dropping out, you know, people started getting super Republican, dropping out. People started just moving, dropping out. And then
did you guys do it? Zoom? Did you do a Zoom one over the lockdown?
No.
What about
the only thing we did Zoom over the lockdown was my mom's funeral. So Thanksgiving kind of just, it's weird because it was such a tradition with me and it's not with my son really. It's he might remember more the times we've gone to the Laugh Factory. And fed the homeless people at the Laugh Factory.
And he's thankful for that. But because the Laugh Factory does that every Thanksgiving, right? He puts on a big spread for whoever wants chow.
You hang out.
And have you volunteered
there? It's very fun. I've done it a couple times. I don't even know if Jamie knows who I am, or he always he looks like he's trying to figure out who I am. I'm not sure if he knows me that well, and I don't want to trouble him by introducing myself. I just keep serving soup or whatever.
You don't want to get in the glare there. You're fine. And I did submit my avails to Rita, and I think I'll try to submit my avails to Flappers this week, but I have our festivals and podcasts. I'm doing Howard Kramer's podcast this week. Okay. And because I ran into him last week and we did that, it's not a bookstore, it's a theater it's like a tiny box theater that has a lot of books in it. In Glendale, the Glendale Room.
Yeah.
Off of Brand.
Yeah.
And then
I love that
there's,
room.
And there's a movie theater across the street. And so I think I told you this last week that I got free coffee because someone recognized my voice. Howard Kramer and I both got free coffee because I went over to the movie theater because I was like, a movie theater will sell coffee. So I went, and the movie theater had a bar. It was a sit-down movie theater, right? That had food and everything. So I go to the bar and I was like, do you guys have coffee? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, can I get two cups of coffee? And she turns around, she turns back to me and she goes, do you do stand up? And I was like, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to offer her money for the coffee and she gave it to me for free.
Heck yeah. You know what's funny is I think Howard and Megan Keister do a podcast about getting stuff for free on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I often give stuff away for free on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And so one time and Megan came to that. I'm like, wait, I know you. She got something. And then the next time it was Alan Kramer. I'm like, guys, because I kind of think that's weird. These people have the same names as comedians I know.
They should just call you and say, hey, you don't happen to have an end table, do you, that you're trying to get rid of? Hey, let's take another break.
Presenting the new MaxFunStore.com. We've got shirts for your torso, hats for your head, drinkware for your finest beverages, and so much more. Starring your favorite Max Fun shows with new and classic designs. Find the perfect gift for the podcast fan in your life. Heck, that could be you. We're not judging. Head to MaxFunStore.com now. That's MaxFunStore.com.
I don't know. So something about just landing in New York causes me great anxiety that keeps me up till 6 a.m. no matter what.
Oof. What time is your flight tomorrow?
4 o'clock. Something like that.
Oh, afternoon. Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's at noon, 12:30. Kind of weird, but did get from one of the guys from the next gen dudes that are all headlining this festival, mm-hmm. who are hanging around, a possible name for who will be hosting the Daily Show.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. That's a really good choice.
Yeah, I think it's a bad choice. Yeah. It's got all kinds of potential.
That's a surprise. I didn't see that coming, but mm-hmm. I could see that working really, really well.
Yeah. And I think they've just met with him. I don't think that it's anything, obviously, set in stone, but there was talk that there had been some meetings, and I wouldn't mind that. I mean, it'd be nice if it was Smith B, but I get it. Sadly,
I think that would be a really fun choice to watch. You know,
yeah,
really.
That
surprises me. I didn't even think that person would be into anything like that. Because mm-hmm. It seems like they've got a different trajectory of extreme success, but this would also be extreme success as well. But it's a lot of work,
right? There was speculation too about who would take James Corden's spot too.
Okay, give me a name.
And they didn't have names for that one, but they were they were speculating who it could be and how complicated it would be to pick someone. And you're like, it doesn't feel that complicated because whoever takes over, they would have to make it their own, right? So
yeah. I've also heard that they're not committed to having another late show.
Right. That was your speculation, is that they might just
It's true.
Get rid of it.
I mean, they network kind of said that.
That's been saying that. Okay. Well, that's a drag.
No.
Because he's still cranking out stand-up sets for people. I think he's doing at least one a week, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great. Mm-hmm. And
they're great sets. I mean, the setup is perfect, and you will have a great set if you do it, you know?
You will. He is that was a really, really polite way for him to, I was talking about that. Who did it? Shane Torres did it. And he was talking mm-hmm. about how great the setup was for James Corden talking to the audience before, which led to a conversation about how, because I guess Shane's open for a lot of bands and Dave Ross has too. And it actually helps if you, not that I think I'm going to be opening for Metallica, like the metal hairband mashup.
Metallica?
Yeah, Beatles Metallica mashup.
Oh, okay.
Remember I said next June there's a couple of bands that might want me to open for them?
Neat.
I told you like 3 weeks ago. But there would be 18 one-nighters. And I'd probably end up doing like 2 15-minute sets in between these two bands. And I asked for a certain amount of money, and they wanted me to be able to help fill the room. And and I was like, well, wouldn't the bands? Anyway. I mean, there's always
where audiences intersect at all. But okay.
Except for that it's not only like if you like Beatles or Metallica and both, would love Metallica. Because they're funny. Because musically, they're kind of amazing, but they're also kind of silly and funny because they're a Beatles. And the other band, I think, is called Tragedy, and it's a Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Metallica, a Bee Gees metal, not Metallica, but a hair metal mashup band. And that sounds funny, too. So, but what Shane and Dave Ross were both saying is that the best bands will come out, talk to their crowd and say, thank you so much for coming out to see the show. We're going to get ready. But this is my friend who's a comic. She's going to come out, or they're going to come out. Please.
Yeah.
And just like, because otherwise they don't know why is there a comic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Kyle Kinane opened up for some band and they had him start 10 minutes before they opened the doors. So he had to just do it for the merch guy.
Oh my god.
Shout out to the merch guy. It was just ridiculous. And it sounds like a grind is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It sounds like a real grind.
Yeah, it's money.
Right. I can't wait to go to Toronto. You've been to Toronto recently, I think, with the JFL thing, right?
Yeah. Are you working a comedy bar?
No, I'm doing a festival.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm not even
Jackie,
kidding.
Why do people think you're so festive?
Well, it's here's the festival is I think it's called Far From Here. And it's a funny name for a festival, but I'm looking forward to it. And I've been watching on Amazon Prime, BritBox, Acorn, a Canadian show called Murdoch's Mysteries. And Murdoch's Mysteries is set in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And it's essentially like you would have watched it if it were 1997 between 3 and 6 p.m. on USA or TNT.
Right. Like Kill Street Blues?
Yes. That's how I got to see Leverage, right? I mean, there would have been no reason for me to know about Bones or Castle or NCIS or all of... I mean, I think that's how I saw Buffy and Charmed. But it's called Murdoch's Mysteries. And so I kind of want to go to Toronto and go to all these, even though nothing's there from 1895, nothing's there from 1910. It's going to be in the middle of December. There'll be a million pounds
freezing.
Of snow. Yeah. Hey, are you snowed in?
Yeah, no, not at all. Oh, but I went to Salem. Did I tell you that?
Oh, right. You were looking at up the ancestors, right?
Yes. Not my ancestors. I'm just my witch ancestors. No, but I just very quickly, because Kyle is
no,
already
slow down. Slow down. No. Because we're at like 55. So he keeps setting us free slightly 3 minutes early. And so this is going to be a 45 minute.
On.
It's going to be a 45 minute podcast.
Okay. So I'm in the Witch Museum and it's this was whatever their setup was. It's like tableaus and it's like giant dioramas with life size, pilgrims and Ann Putnam and witches and stuff like that.
What?
And they go from one to the other and they light it. It's really it was probably really cool in 68, right? But I swear the narration is so old and they talk about I forget the name of this girl. Okay, so her name begins with a T and she was she was black. And she was a servant of the pastor. I'm like, servant?
In Massachusetts?
I'm not sure, a servant.
When? And, slavery?
But, but then they go,
I don't know.
Yes. And she entertained the white girls that started calling everyone witches. She entertained them with stories of, witchcraft from Africa. And she came from Africa. She came over, this is how they say it. She came over on a slave ship. Like, did she see a slave ship leaving and go, hey, you guys got room for one more? I just
Oh my
over.
God. That reminds me of the Romero, the woman who made the Middle Passage. She made a Middle Passage game. Andy showed me this video. Okay, so, God dang it. Her last name's Romero, and her daughter came home from school, and she was like 7 or 8 years old, and she said to her daughter, she's a game designer, famous game designer. I can't remember her first name. But she goes, what'd you learn at school today? And her daughter goes, well, we learned about the Middle Passage. And she stopped moving. She has a TED talk about it. And she stopped moving, and she said, oh, what did you learn about the Middle Passage? What's the Middle Passage? And her daughter goes, it's how the It's how Black people ended up coming to America.
Coming to America. Oh my God.
And she was like, what? And she, because the Middle Passage, of course, is part of the 3 points of rum to slavery to wood, to, you know, with England and North Carolina and Boston. And
Brazil. Or I'm thinking of a triangle. Okay. But anyway, go ahead.
Whatever.
Sorry.
But whatever it is, it's so she ended up making essentially her husband came home and her daughter was just crying because she had made a game. They had meeples. They had like little prototype crap around the house. And, she was like, okay, well, we'll clean off the dining room table. Here's Africa. Well, let's put these families together. It's going to be very beautiful. Here's a piece of paper. This will be the ship. The ship comes up and then we're going to take the mom from this family and we're going to take the dad and the little kid from this family. And her daughter goes, mommy, you forgot the dad from that family. And she goes, yeah. Anyway, so we're going to take all these meeples. We're going to put them on the ship. About the middle of the journey, we run out of food. We're going to have to throw some people off. And
wow.
It is literally, the TED Talk is amazing. I should find that the clip on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she also made, I think she did a Holocaust train. Like she ended up doing several educational games to teach
That's cool.
People of how these things were actually what actually happened. And so you're saying at the Salem Museum, they described it as coming to America.
She came over on a slave ship.
Yeah.
She bought a ticket. She hitched a ride. She said the same.
And then she became a servant. Yeah. Then she decided.
And she became a servant. And then they also had, I guess, Ann Putnam recanted later, or not, didn't recant. Well, she basically said, yeah, we were doing it for fun.
We were just messing around.
But they had her, what she said, read by a man. And it was just really strange to have this entire narration done kind of like in this old male kind of like old American English accent.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you guys should probably, you know, just update
revamp
this a little bit.
Did you get to read? Did you ever? I listened to it on Audible, but it's Sarah Vowell's The Wordy Shipmates. The Wordy Shipmates.
No, uh-uh.
It is amazing. But it's also super dense, and that's why I listen to it on Audible.
I think that's a good thing to listen to. I did buy the House of Seven Gables, and I visited the House of Seven Gables and Nathaniel Hawthorne's birthplace, which is down the street, which is pretty cool.
I got to see the plan to build Artemis. It's either a moon station or a moon orbiting a station to orbit the moon as our first step to going to Mars, which may or may not be a waste of money, but it's still pretty cool.
Complete waste of money. But I'm glad you saw it.
Okay, bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.